When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming to you from Classic City,
the capital of the Bulldog Nation,
it's time for another edition of the podcast designed for the most die-hard Georgia fans in the country.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Glory UGA podcast brought to you by the fine people at Alumni Hall. I am Tyler, and man, do we have some things to talk about today, guys? Now, this is usually the time of year as a host of a Georgia podcast where you got to get pretty creative. You kind of have to manufacture content because we're a couple weeks removed from spring practice. You're still a couple of months away from SEC Media Days, from the opening of fall camp. So to me, this is kind of like the deadest period of the entire offseason because you go back to like January, February, you're still talking a little bit recruiting. You're still looking at the guys that are out there in the transfer portal. And you have guys that enter the transfer portal after their coach leaves. You got some things to talk about. But after spring practice, after that dies down, you got a couple months of not much going on, so you kind of have to get creative. Well, that's not the case today because we have not one, but two breaking news stories to discuss on the pod today. And also more than just a little dash of drama thrown in there as it pertains to the Georgia football program. So let's go ahead and dive in. And the first news story we got to start with here at the top is Christian Miller. We got to start there. This time yesterday, what time is it? It's about 6 o'clock. Maybe a little bit earlier than this time yesterday, we were all getting word that Christian Miller had somewhat surprisingly entered the NCAA transfer portal. We all had some thoughts on that. I had some thoughts. I shared those on social media. Some of you agreed with those. Some of you disagreed. Some of you vehemently disagreed with those, which is all good, man. It's all good. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But we all had our thoughts on that, and some people were upset. Some were fine, whatever. But all the conversations surrounding Christian Miller's transfer, it was all for naught because, as I'm sure you all have seen by now, Christian Miller has reversed course and decided to return to the University of Georgia for his redshirt sophomore year. It's all a moot point, talking about why he was going to leave, where he was going to go. None of that matters anymore. It's irrelevant. All that matters is that he is back in the fold here with this 2024 Georgia football team. And I personally think this is big time news. Now, one of the things I discovered yesterday through all the discussion about Christian Miller in the transfer portal was apparently not everyone is as high on Christian Miller as I am. Not everyone thinks as highly of him as I do. I am a guy that truly believes that Christian Miller has the potential to develop into one of the, if not the best defensive linemen on our team. I truly do believe that. I got a lot of pushback on that yesterday based off the tweet that I put out there. I tweet out one thing, and I really didn't even think it was controversial. I certainly wasn't trying to be controversial. I wasn't intending to put that out as a hot take. Some people felt like I was overreacting, I was being dramatic, and some people felt that I was overstating how good Christian Miller was, which I can respectfully disagree with you. I think Christian Miller is very good, but again, apparently not everyone shares that. But I do have the actual tweet here. I'm sure most of you saw this. I know some of you did not, but I do want to read this tweet word for word, so that we don't misconstrue what I said, because I think that's what happened last night. Some people kind of just read what they wanted to read and didn't really pay attention to exactly what I said, or they just intentionally misconstrued it. But here's what I said word for word. Quote, "The Christian Miller news is a tough blow. No sugarcoating it. Potentially would have been our best interior defensive lineman this year. Everyone has their price, but this is the new norm in college football. You deal with it and find an answer. Your turn, Kirby. Go Dawgs." I did not think that was controversial. I did not expect to get some of the pushback that I got on that. And it seems to me like what everyone, the biggest issue people had with that tweet was me saying that Christian Miller was our best interior defensive lineman. But again, that's misconstruing what I said. I'm going to emphasize the word potentially. Christian Miller, as everyone wanted to tell me last night, In no way was he the best defensive lineman we had last year. And at no point did I say that yesterday. I've never said he was the best defensive lineman that was on the team last year. He was a redshirt freshman. However, based off what I saw from him last year, the flashes that I saw from him, certainly the improvement I saw from Christian Miller as the season progressed, and also in combination with what I saw from him a couple of weeks ago here in Athens at G-Day, I know it's a spring game, but he was going against a pretty damn good offensive line, right? And I thought he looked really good, and he also was not 100%. He's been banged up all spring. He's certainly been limited at times. He was out there at G-Day going with the number one defense, rotating in and out liberally with Warren Brinson, and he wasn't even fully 100%, and I thought he looked really good. I thought he looked like he was ready to take a step and be an even better player for us, a more consistent player for us this year. And that was the thing with Christian Miller. He was young. He wasn't consistent. He wasn't consistent with his technique. He flashed the skill set. The physical tools were there. We saw that on display. The elite first step quickness, the explosiveness. We saw the power, even in a pretty compact frame, about 300 pounds. We saw all of that. It was just the technical side of things that he needed to continue to improve on. So I felt like a guy that was a redshirt freshman last year. And oh, by the way, also played 22% of our snaps last year defensively as a redshirt freshman. And Warren Brinson, who everyone wanted to tell me, or a lot of people were trying to tell me last night, well, I mean, he's the better player. He's a starter. Guys, I know that Warren Brinson's the starter. And I'm fairly confident Warren Brinson will start to open this season as well. Kirby Tibbley defers to those seniors, the senior leaders on the team, especially a guy who is a fifth-year, a super senior COVID guy. Same thing with Nazir Stackhouse. I fully expect those guys to start again this year. But at the same time, I also fully expect Christian Miller to see a significant bump in his snap count this year, because Christian Miller is going to be a better player for us this year than he was last year. And I do believe, I will stand by what I said. I'm not going to back off of it. I believe that Christian Miller has the potential, there's that word again, the potential to develop into the best interior defensive lineman on our team this year, based off what I saw from him last year, based off what I saw at G-Day. I've been very impressed with Christian Miller. I think there were times last year, and I did say this last year, there were times where I thought he was the most disruptive interior defensive lineman that we had in terms of getting in the backfield and disrupting what the offense was trying to do. He's got that quickness. He's got that athleticism, that explosiveness. Now, and that's also with him playing largely out of position last year. He was forced into duty behind Nazir Stackhouse, so essentially back up Naz as our zero tech nose guard. And Christian Miller is 310 pounds. He is not a traditional zero tech, two gapping, space eating, double team eating nose guard the way that Jordan Davis was and Naz Stackhouse is, to a lesser degree, but that's still more so his game. He's really a three tech. That's really what he is. The issue is that's what Warren Brinson is. And Warren Brinson has the experiential edge on him. He has time in the program. He has the reps. He's more advanced technically as he was last year. So you kind of had to fill in Christian Miller where you could. Ideally, it would have been Jamal Jarrett, but Jamal Jarrett, as a true freshman, was simply not ready from a physical standpoint, had to get his body in shape, had to drop some weight, had to reshape his body, had to get in condition. He wasn't ready to contribute last year. So Christian Miller was, by default almost. And he played a little three tech, you know, certainly later in the year when there was a little bit of an injury situation that Warren Brinson was dealing with, Christian Miller stepped in and played some more three tech and played very well for us, mind you, in my estimation. But again, I go back to, I'm not saying at any point Christian Miller was better than Warren Brinson or better than Naz Stackhouse last year, although I do think Naz Stackhouse had a down year last year. He was much better in 22 than he was in 23, and he's admitted that as much himself. I expect them to have a bounce back year this year. But here's the thing with those guys. When you look at two super seniors and Naz Stackhouse and Warren Brinson, when you're going from year 4 to year 5, you typically don't have that much room for improvement. You kind of more or less are who you are. I'm not saying you can't get better to some degree. Yeah, you can sharpen your game. You can polish your skill set. Sure. That is certainly the case. But a guy that's going from year 1 to year 2, and I know that he was a redshirt freshman last year, but from year 1 on the field actually playing snaps for us, meaningful snaps, to year 2, there's just typically a far greater improvement that guys make from year 1 to year 2 than you do from year 4 to year 5, because when you're in year 1, you're so much further away from what you're going to be, right? You're still very much in the developmental stage. And that's where Christian Miller was. I am fully expecting Christian Miller to take a big step this year. We need him to take a big step this year. And if what I saw at G-Day from him is any indication, he is poised to be able to take that big step. Will he be the best defensive lineman on the team this year? That remains to be seen. And again, I never said he was the best interior lineman on the team. I said he's got the potential to be if he continues to develop at a steady rate. Because I do think he has a higher ceiling than the guy like Warren Brinson. Because Warren Brinson, like, we know what Warren is. Warren's a really, really good player. A good, solid, valuable player for us on the interior of our defensive line. But Warren Brinson is not a game changer. Like, he's not a Jalen Carter level guy. He never has, but he never will be. That's not who he is. And I'm not saying that Christian Miller is going to be Jalen Carter either. I don't think he has that kind of ceiling. But I have seen, although I do think there's a lot of similarities in Warren Brinson and Christian Miller's game. I think they're both more like one-gap guys, not our traditional two-gap guys that we tend to like to use. Now, we have altered what we do up front with our fronts quite a bit, and we're doing a little bit more one-gapping than we have, especially with those three techs that we've done in the past. And they're similar guys. They're both really good with their first-step quickness. They both have some explosiveness to their game. They have the ability to penetrate and cause disruption in the backfield. I just happen to think Christian Miller's a little bit more explosive. I think he's a little bit of a better athlete. Personally, that's just me. And I've said this many times. He reminds me of Tyler Clark. Tyler Clark, who played for us in the early years of the Kirby Smart tenure when we were doing a lot more two-gapping. We didn't let those guys one-gap as much. I think Tyler Clark was a quintessential one-gap interior three-tech defensive lineman. And I don't think we let him – I don't think we schemed to fit his skill set as much as maybe we could have. And we've evolved some defensively, and we don't do a ton of that, but we do more than we did back then. I think if Tyler Clark played for us this year, he would be even more effective than he was back in the early years of Kirby Smart's time here in Athens. Although I think Tyler Clark was very, very good. And when I see, you guys know this, I've said this many times if you listen to the podcast, when I watch Christian Miller, I see Tyler Clark. And I know they have the same number, but it's beyond that, guys. It's their skill set, their strengths, even to the way they move out there on the field, the way they walk. I see a spitting image of Tyler Clark. And I think that Christian Miller has the potential to be the best lineman on our team, defensive lineman. I believe that he has that potential. Will he be? I don't know. We need to see it. He wasn't that last year, admittedly, but that doesn't mean he can't develop into that. And here's an example that I would use. Because what was continually thrown in my face last night was like, he's just a rotation guy. He's not even a starter. How can you say he's the best player on the team? Well, first off, I didn't say he was the best player. I said he could potentially develop into the best player. But what happened last year is last year. I really don't care what happened last year. That was 2023. I am more so focused on projecting forward to 2024. And in 2024, I believe absolutely there's a world where Christian Miller takes a big step forward and can maybe even elevate his game ahead of that of Warren Brinson and Nazir Stackhouse. Maybe not right away, but as the season goes on, he gets more and more reps. I could certainly see a world where that's possible. It's not inconceivable. Can we at least agree with that? It's not inconceivable. And here's a comparison I would make. And I'm going to stick with our defense. Pop Dumas Johnson last year. Pop was a very good player for us. Did a lot of really good things for us. Was a big part of what we did to win that national championship in 2022. Good football player. But Pop in no way is as talented as a guy like CJ Allen or Waylon Wilson or Jalen Walker. But you know what? Pop Dumas Johnson was still starting over those guys last year. Let me ask you that question. This is a rhetorical question. Let me just pose it to you. Do you really think that Pop Dumas Johnson is a better player, a more talented player than CJ Allen or Raylan Wilson or Jalen Walker? Do you really think that? I don't. Pop Dumas Johnson clearly didn't even think that because he left because he saw the writing on the wall, not because he was a malcontent, not because he was looking for a big NIL payday. He left because he wanted to play. And he saw the writing on the wall with all the talent that we've stacked in that inside linebacker room. Those guys are just more talented than him. They have a higher ceiling than him. And they, as true freshmen, they were already eating into his snaps. He started, yes, and he was better than them, especially early last year, because he had that experience on them. He was just simply at a more advanced stage in his development. But if you give those guys, the younger guys, the CJ Allens, the Jalen Walkers, the Raylan Wilsons of the world, if you give them a year or two of development where they actually can catch up in terms of their knowledge of the system and their technical prowess, well, physically speaking, they're just superior athletes. And when they catch up on the things that where Pop had an edge on them, the technique and the knowledge of the system, they're going to eat even more into his snaps and who knows, maybe even eventually start over him. Now, although Kirby does like to defer to those veteran leaders on the team. And I see a very similar situation at the three tech. And I guess the defensive line in general, you can say zero tech as well, wherever Christian Miller fits in, he has some of that positional versatility. I know last year he was playing behind Nazir Stackhouse and Warren Brinson. I maintain, however, a lot like the situation inside linebacker, he had more physical gifts than those guys. I believe that. Now, the question remains, how much of a step will he take this year in catching up to those guys in terms of knowledge of the system, in terms of playing with proper leverage and technique, all those things you have to do, the little things, right, beyond just being a physical specimen out there. Those things remain to be seen. That's why I said potentially could develop into the best player on defensive line. I need to see him do it. I need to see him take steps in those areas before I can actually say, yeah, he's the best lineman on our team. But again, I don't think it's inconceivable. Just like it wasn't inconceivable last year to say, oh man, I think CJ Allen's gonna be better than Pop Dumas Johnson. I mean, just watch. You saw that. Like, CJ Allen wasn't ready last year. He was a young guy, made some mistakes, and didn't always know what was going on. But physically, you could see him. And even when Raylan Wilson got out there, you could see that they were more talented than Pop Dumas Johnson. And Pop saw it too. And he knew what was going to happen once they started to figure things out and their head stopped spinning when they're no longer true freshmen. And I think you can say much the same thing about Christian Miller. And look, at the very least, even if you don't think that he has any chance to be the best interior lineman on our team, and that's fine. If you believe that, I respectfully disagree, but you're welcome to believe that. But even if that's the attitude you have about Christian Miller, you have to admit him coming back to Georgia is big for this team. And I'll go back to another thing I said in that tweet. Some people had issue with me saying it was a tough blow. Like, how is it a blow if it's just a rotational guy, not even a starter? Well, guys, you watch Georgia football like I do. If you're listening to this right now, if you're watching this, you watch Georgia football like I do. You know how much we rotate along our defensive line. I don't care who it is. Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, all those guys rotated. Christian Miller played 22% of our snaps last year as a redshirt freshman. He was clearly going to play more this year. He was working liberally with the one defense and played well with the one defense in the spring game. And that is going to be the case throughout the season. He is going to play and play a lot for us. In fact, I kind of view him as somewhat of a co-starter. I know he technically, if he doesn't start, like, he's not going to be, only so many guys out there starting, but he's going to play essentially starter snaps in my estimation. I do believe that this year. So, like, me saying that it's a blow, what I mean by that is, we don't have a ton of proven options on the interior defensive line. Like, we know what we have in Nazir Stackhouse, good, solid football player we can rely on. Same thing with Warren Princeton, good, solid football player that we can rely on. Neither guy's been a difference maker to this point, and I don't know if they ever will be. I don't think that's who those guys are, but that doesn't mean they're not good, valuable players. They are. But outside of that, who do you got? Well, you got Christian Miller. You got Jordan Hall, who I do think Jordan Hall, of all the guys in our defensive line room, I think he actually has the highest ceiling. Just based off what I saw from those two guys, Christian Miller and Jordan Hall last year, Christian Miller does have a year on him, so that matters. I thought Christian Miller was more advanced last year. And I think we'll see if Jordan Hall can catch up this year and take a step, a bigger step, and be like that top guy off the bench in the defensive line, the number three defensive lineman. We'll see. But last year, I thought Christian Miller was better. I think that was pretty clear. I don't think there's really any question. I thought that both guys looked really good at G-Day. I thought Christian Miller looked a little bit better, to be quite honest with you. But those are the four guys I think you can say, all right, we know that those guys are going to be able to play for us. Like, we feel pretty good about those guys. Outside of that, who do you feel good about? Like, who do you know? Who do you know is ready to play? Jamal Jarrett? I think Jamal Jarrett can be really good. Like, he's a true zero tech nose guard body for us. Like, he's a 350 plus guy. But he's got to show. We want him to be good. We think he can be good. And I think maybe even this year he could be good and play some snaps for us and be an impact type player. But we don't know that, guys. Like, that's complete speculation. We have no way to know that because we haven't really seen him. We saw him a little bit in the Orange Bowl, a little bit. He looked good, admittedly. We saw him some against the number two offense, primarily at G-Day. Looked good, but like wasn't like dominant. And that was against, again, primarily the number two defense. So are you ready to have to count on him? What about Xavier McLeod, the guy we got from South Carolina? I'm high on his potential. I thought he did some good things in G-Day. I thought he flashed and showed some high-level potential. But he's even younger in his development than Jordan Hall and Christian Miller because he only spent about half the year with South Carolina last year. He was dismissed from the team or left the team, whatever actually happened there, about midway through October. So he missed a ton of snaps, and our reps at least, in practice. From a developmental standpoint, there was a stunting there of that development. So he's got to catch up. Do you want to be in a position where you got to count on him to be ready? To me, it's like, if Xavier McLeod can give us something, that's gravy, baby. That's a luxury. I don't want to have to count on that. And I think we might have to rely a little bit more on Jamal Jarrett because I think he is more of a true zero-tech guy. And Christian Miller will play some there too, but like situationally, there are times where Jamal Jarrett might be more of the guy that you want to be on the field if you want to spell Nazir Stackhouse. Situationally, yes, Christian Miller can also factor into that spot as well. But if Christian Miller had left, which he, as of last night, he was going to, that left us with three guys that have really any sort of experience at the college level. And Jordan Hall, guys, ain't got a lot of experience at the college level. Played some last year, didn't play an overwhelming amount. Is that really the situation you wanted to be in going into the SEC schedule? Our schedule this year? The way that thing shaped up, you really felt comfortable with that? I don't. So that's why I called it a blow. Now, let's also think about what I did not say. I did not say it was a debilitating blow. I did not say it was a death blow because I didn't think that it was, because it's not. Christian Miller is a good player. I do think he has the potential to be the best or one of the better defensive linemen on our team. But he's not like a Jalen Carter type guy. Like he's not going to be that. So, I mean, even if Jalen Carter had gotten, I mean, she missed some games in 2022. Like we were obviously not as good without him, but we were able to weather the storm. And we've seen guys, you know, at the receiver position, like George Pickens, like you guys that, like, you know, they're big time players in our team. They go down. It's like, man, that sucks. Like how are we going to overcome that? And we've seen time and time again, we have answers, right? But this was a different situation at the defensive line spot. I mean, that's a critical position on our team. I've said this many times, and I know that you guys who have been longtime loyal listeners, you know, you've heard me say this 5 billion times. I know we have some newer listeners. Let me just run through this again real quick. My thoughts on the defensive line and why it's so critical to our success. We have an incredible roster. Kirby has assembled one of the most talented rosters year in, year out in college football. That's been a massive part of our success. Maybe even, you know, you could argue that that's the biggest reason. You have to have a talented roster like that. But if you want to narrow it down to a specific position, what position has been most important in our ascent to the top of the college football landscape? My assertion would be it's the defensive line, especially in 21 and 22, but certainly more so 21 when you got Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, and you got Devontae Wyatt. 22, you got Jalen Carter, and who was a freak, is a top 10 draft pick. But our defensive line, to me, has been the key to it all. Our defense, we know in 2021, to a lesser extent in 2022, but certainly in 21, was the driving force behind that run to the national championship. Our offense was better than people want to give it credit for, but let's make no mistake about it. That defense is what got us that national championship. Our offense made plays when they had to, and we're really good, but not on the level of our defense. Like, that was one of the better defenses in recent college football history. I think it's safe to say that. 22, our defense took a little step back, still really, really good, but our offense took a step forward. So we were kind of even offensively and defensively in 2022, but we still had Jalen Carter. And in the era of college football offense that we're in right now, the evolution of college offenses to how most offenses are spreading the field, most like non-Iowa offenses are spreading the field, trying to maximize space. That has put all sorts of conflict for defenses. It creates stress for defenses because you have to account for those guys who are now maximizing all that space on the field they used to never really even worry about. Everything was condensed. All the bodies were smashed together. There's all this space out there that you just simply weren't using. Well, now offenses realize, oh, we can stress defenses if we use more space as we spread them out, and it makes it harder for them to defend the run. Because when you spread out to defend these receivers in these spread offenses, well, you have light boxes, right? You're going to have even numbers in the box. And most teams have trouble stopping the run with even numbers. A lot of these really good offenses, elite spread offenses, when you have even numbers in the box, they're going to gash you with the run. So if that's the case, at some point you have to stop that, right? You have to stop the run. Well, how do you stop the run? Well, you dedicate more bodies to the box. You have to outnumber the offense. That's what you have to do. You have to get a plus one scenario. But when you, and that's fine, but when you do that, now you're taking, where is that defender coming from? He's coming from coverage. So now you're messing with your structural integrity on the back end, and someone is going to be one-on-one. There's going to be an advantageous matchup for the offense somewhere, and they're going to find it, and they're going to exploit it. Why has George, like, I know I use the Tennessee example a lot, but it's because we play them every year, at least recently and now, at least for the next year or two. But Tennessee has dropped, you know, 40 and 50 just about everybody they played, including the great Alabama, the great Nick Saban. They haven't done it to Georgia. Why? Because we've been so good up front. Our front six in general, yes, but specifically our defensive line. We have had difference makers up front. We have had dudes that disrupt, and they simply could not block them one-on-one. That's what it comes down to. We were able to defend the run with even numbers because they could not handle our interior defensive line. And that allowed us to keep a too high safety shell and be able to add help over the top to our cornerbacks and keep out of those one-on-one situations that Tennessee has made a living off of, like they did against Alabama. That's why Tennessee has not been able to get any traction against Georgia. It's because our defensive line has just been that good. Now, last year, our defensive line was not near as good, and our numbers against the run dropped precipitously. Now, it wasn't just the defensive line that was responsible for that. There's more than just the defensive line that goes into run fits, but our defensive line, in my estimation, was the biggest reason behind the dramatic drop-off we saw in our run defense production. I've read those numbers out to you guys. I don't want to waste the time here again today, but you go back and find the episode where I talked about this, and you got all the numbers out there that spelled out for you very clearly. Our run production dropped precipitously last year. In the Tennessee game, like, first play from scrimmage, they bust that long run, right? Now, that wasn't on the defensive line. That was more a C.J. Allen thing, but they had more success running the football on us than they had, like, on an efficiency standpoint than they had the previous 2 years because our defensive line wasn't as good. So that was my biggest concern coming to G-Day, coming to the season still. I felt better after G-Day, but when You have a guy like Christian Miller, who I thought was going to be a big part of our defensive line taking a step forward this year, when now he's in the air of the transfer portal. Well, yeah, that's kind of a blow, right? Because, like, who replaces that guy? You got to find a way to replace that production somehow. Like, when George Pickens went down, okay, like, A.D. Mitchell, you're up. Like, you're going to play a little bit more. And A.D. Mitchell, you know, wasn't George Pickens, but he did some good things for us. Ladd McConkey, you're up. You're going to have to step up. Ladd really burst onto the scene. So we had some guys that were ready. And also a guy named Brock Bowers, right, who we didn't really quite know about. We didn't know he was going to be that good in 2021 going into the season, but he ended up being that dude. So it was all good. We had the guys to replace the lost production of George Pickens. But my question would be now, like, if Christian Miller had left, who do we have ready to step in and replace that production that Christian Miller was going to offer us? Again, like, Jamal Jarrett? Maybe, but do you really want to count on that? Xavier McLeod? Maybe, but do we want to count a guy that was with a program for half a year last year? Really? Do we want to count that? Do you want to count on true freshmen? I mean, we got some talented true freshmen like Nnamdi Ogboko in this class, but you want to have to count on true freshmen in the trenches in the SEC? I'm not saying it's impossible, but that's extraordinarily rare. To me, anything you get from a guy in the trenches as a true freshman, that's gravy, baby. That's a luxury. You don't count on that. You do not want to be in the position to count on that. Teams that are in the position having to count on true freshmen on the lines of scrimmage are typically not national championship contenders. So yeah, that's why I felt like it was a blow. Not that we couldn't possibly recover from it. There wasn't an answer. We still couldn't be good on the defensive line. I just didn't think that we were going to be as good on the defensive line when you lose one of your top four guys who's going to be a key contributor on the defensive line. That's the way I felt about that. So that's why I said it was a blow, not a death blow, not something that we couldn't recover from, but we were going to have to try to find an answer. Maybe it was a transfer portal, maybe the guy like Derek Harmon, although the guy from Michigan State, but there's not really a ton of options out there. And I'm not even sure Derek Harmon would be as good as I think Christian Miller is going to be for us this year. So I'm very, very glad that Christian Miller is back in the fold. I think that is a very, very good thing for this Georgia defense. I do expect our defensive line to take a step forward this year. And it's not, again, not so much because of Noah Stackhouse and Warren Brinson. Those guys, like, we know what they are. But it's the young guys, and Christian Miller is one of those young guys. Christian Miller, Jordan Hall in particular, then maybe to a slightly lesser degree, you've got Jamal Jarrett and Xavier McLeod. How much of a step are those young guys ready to take? Because they're the guys that actually have more of the room to improve and to grow and to raise the level of their game. And if they were able to do that, then our defensive line would be ready to take a step forward. And I think we saw that at G-Day. I think we saw towards the tail end of last year. I think Christian Miller is ready to take a big step this year. I think Jordan Hall is ready to take a step this year. So as long as those guys are in the fold, I think we will be better on the defensive line. Now, do we have a Jalen Carter-level difference maker? I still don't think we have that. But if you have a couple of guys of the caliber that we have by committee, we can be better than we were last year. And that's all we need to be. Like, with our offense this year and the experience we have now at inside linebacker, some of those guys that aren't going to be true freshmen like C.J. Allen and Raylan Wilson, I know Pop moved on, but she's still got Smile Mundon. We're going to be better on defense, and I think we're going to be better on the defensive line. It's going to be a big part of, if we win another national championship this year, I think that's going to be a big part of it. I think we're going to be better, and Christian Miller absolutely is going to be a major factor when it comes to that. So that's my two cents on Christian Miller. I know not everyone agrees on that, and that's totally fine. I did discover, again, that not everyone is as high on Christian Miller as I am. I think the guy's really good, and y'all who've been listening for a long time, you know that. All right, guys, so that was the first big breaking news story of the day, but there was certainly another one which we will get to here in just a moment. But first, let me quickly remind you guys about our awesome friends at Alumni Hall. Mother's Day is going to be here before you know it, and I know that all you guys out there, when you go to Alumni Hall, you can't help but pick up something for yourself. There's no shame in that, but also while you're there, pick a little something up for mom or the Georgia lady in your life, because not only do they have a great selection for all of you guys out there, they have a fantastic selection of women's gear as well. But whatever type of Georgia gear you are in the market for, and whoever you are in the market to buy for, Alumni Hall is going to have you covered for all the Georgia fans in your life. And yes, that does include yourself. All you have to do is, if you're in the Athens area, stop by here in the Glass City inside the Epps Bridge Shopping Center. Or if you're not in the Athens area, all good. Just go to alumnihall.com. They have a fantastic shopping experience for you guys. You're going to find all the same great Georgia gear and accessories that you would find in store. But make sure you do yourself a solid, do all the Georgia fans in your life a solid, and shop Alumni Hall, because that is where the Bulldog shop. But all right, guys, let's move along here and let's go to the second big breaking news of the day, which is the transfer of former Arizona State quarterback Jaden Rashada to the good guys, to the University of Georgia. And man, what a big time pull by Kirby Smart. We all know that Kirby was going to be looking for a fourth guy. He has made no secret of that. That's kind of been his MO for a couple of years. I want a fourth guy. I think he's really scarred by what happened in 2020, you know, with the Jamie Newman thing and the Dwan Mathis not working out. You got Stetson Bennett. And Stetson Bennett goes down. You got to rely on Dwan Mathis, and like at least in the Florida game, and you know that guy is not ready. And then JT Daniels is dealing with an injury, and who knows when he's going to be healthy. I think that scarred the guy. He's like, we got to have our quarterback room taken care of. So he's been hunting for a fourth guy. Even go back to December. I mean, Jade Mayava, remember the guy from UNLV? We had that guy for a second. I did a full-on emergency pod, and like 24 hours later, he's like, oh, deuces, I'm out. I'm going to USC. He's like, oh, cool. I'm glad I wasted the time to record that episode. So Kirby's been after somebody. But I was skeptical of the type of quarterback we would be able to get in the transfer portal this time of year. And also, you got to factor in our situation, because it's not a super attractive situation, at least in terms of 2024, because we can offer zero playing time. Because Carson Beck is the unquestionable starter. There's zero competition there. You are coming to sit and learn and develop and be ready to compete for the 2025 job. That's what we were selling to quarterbacks on the transfer portal market. And it takes a special kind of guy to be willing to come and wait for a full year before he even has a chance to compete for the starting quarterback job. Your top guys that have other options and teams that are offering them the chance to play now typically, for the most part, would not entertain the situation at Georgia right now. So I was concerned, like, okay, I think we can get a guy, but like, what caliber of quarterback are we going to be able to get? Is it going to be someone that can actually ultimately end up maybe competing for a starting job? Like sometime down the road, is it actually be a guy that could be the quarterback at Georgia, or is it just going to be like a body? Okay, like I felt there's a possibility we could find somebody, a young, talented guy who was really raw but needed some development. Maybe we find a guy like that. But in no way did I expect us to be able to land a guy the caliber of Jaden Rashada. Like, this is best case scenario type stuff, guys. We went out, like, we needed a fourth quarterback, and not only did we get a fourth quarterback, we didn't get a project fourth quarterback. We went out. Yeah, he needs some development. Like, he's still young. He still needs to grow and develop, certainly. He's coming from an offensive system with Kenny Dillingham that's very, very different than the pro-style offense that he's going to run here at Georgia, which I think is a big part of why he was attracted to Georgia, because he has NFL aspirations. And if you have NFL aspirations as a quarterback, what better place to come than Georgia? Because we run much more of a pro-style system than teams like, you know, Arizona State with Kenny Dillingham, and even Lincoln Riley over at USC, although he certainly put some guys in the NFL. And you're going to have Caleb Williams about to be the number one draft pick later tonight. But I think that's a big part of the attraction for Jaden Rashada. But again, not only did we go out and get like somebody to be a fourth quarterback, we went out and got the best quarterback on the transfer market. I mean, this is a big-time pull by Kirby Smart. And I know that some people out there are not as thrilled about it and don't think it's as big of a deal, and that's fine. I would just respectfully disagree. Now, let me explain why I think Jaden Rashada, transfer to Georgia, is actually really good for the University of Georgia. Number one, competition, all right? I know people love Gunnar Stockton. I love Gunnar Stockton. I really, really value the guy. I appreciate him, man. I have a soft spot for a guy that's going to come in and wait his turn and not do the whole transfer portal thing, which basically every other quarterback does. I think it says a lot about who he is, a lot about his character, and I am pulling hard for Gunnar Stockton. I want good things to happen for Gunnar Stockton. But saying that, as much as I like Gunnar and as much as I'm pulling for him, I love Georgia more, and I'm pulling for Georgia more. I want what's best for Georgia above what's best for one individual player. I know that sounds tough, right? And that sounds pretty callous, but that's just kind of, I feel, I'm a Georgia guy. I want the best man to play. And if you don't have that attitude, then you're not really about winning, right? I mean, you can want good things for a guy, but ultimately understand that we had to do what's best for the program. And Gunnar might very well end up being the guy. I mean, he's a talented player. He's set by, he's waited his turn, he's learned the system, he's grown, developed, improved year after year. But you want to come in and push the guy. You want to have somebody to push the guy. Like Ryan Puglisi, I'm high on what he can be, but is he going to be ready to push Gunnar Stockton next year? Like really legitimately push him? Maybe, but like, I mean, he didn't go through spring practice this year. I don't know. And then you got a true freshman coming in, and Jared Curtis. Is he going to be ready to push him as a true freshman? Probably not, right? I mean, I guess it happens from time to time, but that's still pretty rare. You can't expect that to happen. You need somebody to push Gunnar Stockton, to even just elevate Gunnar's play. And if you're in a program like we have where Kirby Smart preaches competition at all positions, you can't have the quarterback position be the exception. right? You got to make him go out and earn it, just like every other position has to go out and earn it. You can't say, well, I'm not going to bring in a talented guy at quarterback that could really maybe make this team better just because I don't want to hurt Gunnar Stockton's feelings. You can't do that. Kirby's job is to make our program better. His job is to stack our roster as strongly as he possibly can, with as much talent as he possibly can. And he went and did that, guys. And all it's going to do is it's going to raise Gunner's play. It's going to make him take his game to another level. We always preach iron sharpens iron, right? Well, sometimes you got to practice what you preach. And that's exactly what we're doing here, bringing in competition. And I also think you got to look at it this way. This is, at the very least, bringing in Jaden Rashada is a big-time insurance plan in the event that Gunnar Stockton does not end up being the guy that we all hope and think he can be. I've said this on the podcast before, and I've had some people request maybe some elaboration on my thoughts on Gunnar Stockton. And I want to preface this by saying, again, I really like Gunnar Stockton. I'm rooting for the guy. I want him to do well. I think he's a good young man. He's worked hard, and I would love to see good things happen for him. But at the same time, what have we seen from Gunnar Stockton to tell us that he is ready to be the type of quarterback that we need him to be to compete for a national championship? I'm hopeful that he can be that, but what have we seen from him? Now, admittedly, we haven't seen him have any opportunities on the field, right? He didn't get much opportunity. He was the number three quarterback last year. Even the number two quarterback in Vandegrift didn't get a lot of time on the field last year, and Gunnar certainly did not. He got some run in the Orange Bowl. It looked good, but he was also, you know, largely just a lot of run game stuff, just pulling and running, and didn't really showcase, you know, going through progressions and didn't really show like much as a passer in that game. Did some decent things, but I still need to see a lot more from him. And that's what it is, guys. This is not me hating on Gunnar Stockton. And also, let's make sure we hear what I'm saying here. I'm not saying, in no way am I saying Gunnar Stockton cannot be the type of quarterback at Georgia that we need to win a national championship. I'm not saying he cannot be. All I am simply saying is I'm not sure yet because I haven't seen it. I'm a guy that's more about evidence than I am wishful thinking. Right now, if you believe that Gunnar Stockton is that guy, that's great. You're entitled to that belief. But what are you basing that on? Are you basing that on what you've heard from practice? That's cool. I mean, that could be part of the equation. But at some point, do we not need to see it? And that's all I'm saying. Like, I haven't seen it. I thought he made some progress this spring, and certainly getting the number two and number three reps with Pulisic largely missing most of the spring, that certainly helped accelerate his development, and I think he has grown as a passer. But I still haven't seen anything from him to tell me right now that unquestionably he is going to be a big-time quarterback, the way that Carson Beck was able to step in for Stetson Bennett and really not miss a beat and have a big-time first year as a starting quarterback. And let's compare Carson, because that's the other thing people say is like, well, hey, man, like, what do you say? Like, Carson did it, so like, he waited his turn. Why can't Gunnar step in and do exactly what Carson did himself? I'm not saying Gunnar can't, but here's what I'll say about that comparison. We saw more of Carson Beck. This time last year, I was telling everyone who would listen how high I was on Carson Beck. Hell, I did an episode last year talking about how I thought Carson Beck had a shot to even like be in the Heisman Trophy conversation. I thought he was going to have a big-time year, could be one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC. If you're one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC, you're probably one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I thought that highly of him coming into the 2023 season. But why? Because I'd seen him do it. All right, I know he hadn't done it like in like meaningful moments, but he got a lot of playing time in the fourth quarter, sometimes the third quarter of games in 2022. And he was actually allowed to legitimately run the offense, like the actual offense. We weren't going out there and saying, hey, Carson, hand the ball off. Carson, up until like the last couple minutes of the game, was given opportunities to run the offense, and he looked good running the offense. He showed me he could do the things that we need our quarterbacks to be able to do in our system to excel at a high level and potentially lead a team to a national championship. He showed me that he could go through progressions and diagnose what defenses were doing. He showed me that he had answers for what defenses were trying to do to him pre-snap, post-snap. He showed me that he could put the ball on the money. He showed me that he could lead this offense. I know it wasn't a meaningful time. I understand that. But I saw enough from him, and I've seen enough from him at G-Day over a couple of years to suggest that. We also have to remember, Carson Beck, I know he was passed up ultimately by Stetson Bennett, but he was named the number two quarterback coming out of camp going into the 2022 season. Then when JT actually went down, then Kirby reverts back the guy he trusts, Old Faithful and Stetson Bennett, and Carson didn't get that job. But I had seen enough from Carson. I haven't seen as much from Gunnar. Now, could that change this year? Could Gunnar do what Carson did in 2022 and get a lot more playing time in that garbage time and be late third quarter, fourth quarter, and be allowed to run more of the offense to help accelerate his development? Absolutely. And he could show me something there. I'm absolutely 100% open to that possibility. All I'm saying, again, is we haven't seen it yet. And if you're being honest with yourself, you have to admit that. Like, what if you are convinced that Gunnar Stockton is 100% unequivocally the guy, and there's like no competition between him and Jaden Rashada? Just, I would ask you, what are you basing that on? Like, you're not basing it on evidence on the field, because we haven't seen enough of him to know that. We also haven't seen enough to know that he can't be that guy, but we haven't seen him show us on the field that he's ready to do those things. Again, I'm hopeful. He's been in our system. I know he's a really hard worker behind the scenes, and he's getting better and better as time goes on. Every time I do see him, even though it's very limited sample sizes, he does get better. So he absolutely could grow into that guy by the time 2025 season gets here, but we haven't seen that yet, right? We've actually seen a lot more of Jaden Rashada. And Jaden Rashada was a true freshman last year, started the first two games for Arizona State, and you know, some good, some bad. I'm trying to put together a film study for you guys. I want to get on here and do this episode first, the instant reactions. We'll try to go to the film a little bit later. There were obviously some situations where he didn't fully understand what he was doing, but that's, I mean, he's a true freshman, right? But as a passer, a pure passer, I do believe I've seen enough for him to suggest I think he's more advanced as a passer than Gunnar Stockton. Now, Gunnar clearly has an edge in terms of experience and mastery of our offense and understanding of our offense. Gunnar very well could have a better understanding of what defenses are doing, his ability to process. Jaden Rashada as a freshman struggled with that at times. I will say that. But if you're talking about pure throwing ability, I've seen him do more than Gunnar Stockton. I have seen that. And he's also a younger guy. Now, he's going to have to grow in our system. He has the full year to catch up and try to compete for that job. Now, again, I'm not telling you that Jaden Rashada is going to beat out Gunnar Stockton. No one knows that. I don't know that. You don't know that. No one knows that at this point. It's going to be one heck of a battle. But what I can tell you is that it's an incredible insurance policy. In the event that Gunnar Stockton, for some reason, God forbid, does not end up being the guy that we all want him to be, all hope he can be, and some people are convinced he can be, there's a scenario where that is the case. I hope it doesn't turn out to be that case, but there's a scenario where that's what happens. In that event, bringing a guy like Jaden Rashada in is the ultimate insurance policy. You have a plan B, and it's Kirby's job to have contingencies ready. Do you really think it's the best thing for Georgia to put all of our eggs in the Gunnar Stockton basket in 2025? Like, we're ready to go all in? Like, there's no world where he might not be who you think he is? I hope he's that guy, but like, again, I don't think we know that yet. In my opinion, it would be coaching malpractice if you're Kirby Smart and a guy like Jaden Rashada wants to come play for you and he's willing to sit for a year behind Carson Beck and be ready to compete for the job in 2025. If you tell him, nah, we're good, we believe in Gunnar Stockton, that is coaching malpractice. You have to have a backup plan. You've got to have a contingency option. And at the very least, that is what Jaden Rashada is, the ultimate contingency plan, the ultimate insurance option. And at best, we might have just gotten our quarterback of the future. Again, I'm not telling you he is going to be that guy. I don't know that yet. None of us actually know that yet, but it's also not inconceivable. Like, we saw enough from him as a passer. We know what kind of talent he is. He's got to develop. He needs some development, certainly in the pro-style system. But, I mean, there's a world where he could be the guy in 2025. And there's also a world where he might not win the job in 2025. And maybe it's Gunner's job. And Gunner plays 1 year, and Gunner has a hell of a year, and he goes off the NFL, and then Rashada sticks around, and he's got the job. But, like, even if that's not the case, if Gunner wins the job and Rashada leaves, fine. And that's the thing, too. If Gunner is the guy that we want him to be, and some people are convinced that he is, then Jaden Rashada transferring over here doesn't matter because Gunnar will just win the job no matter what. It'll be irrelevant. But again, in the event that he's not the guy that we think that he is or want him to be, it's a really good thing for Georgia to have Jaden Rashada there to kind of give us another option at the quarterback position, which, oh yeah, by the way, is the most important position on the field. And real quickly here on Jaden Rashada, in terms of like his skill set, he is a very good passer. He's got a good strong arm. He throws. He might be more accurate down the field than even Carson Beck. If you go back and watch the tape from his first two games, and he made some really nice throws down the field. Now, he wasn't always consistent with the other parts of the game. Actually, wasn't at all consistent with the other parts of the game. But again, he was a young guy growing, developing, and playing before he was ready to actually get out there and play. He's a good athlete. Both those guys, Gunnar Stockton and Jaden Rashada, are both really good athletes. They're kind of different. Gunnar's a more physical runner. Rashada's thin. I mean, he's not going to be a guy that's going to run through you. He might be a step faster than Gunner, although Gunner's a really good athlete, but they're both good runners. They're both guys that we can do some QB run game stuff, like some legitimate QB run game stuff with. So, I mean, there's some similarities, but there's also some clear differences there. I do believe, again, Rashad has a slight edge as a passer right now, maybe even more than a slight edge as a passer, but Gunner has that experience, and that's going to be very difficult for Rashad to overcome. That is a big, big edge for Gunner Stockton. But you know what? It's going to be a lot of fun to watch that battle play out. Iron sharpens iron. And here's what I'll leave you with. No matter what you think about Jaden Rashada, no matter what you think about Gunner Stockton, who's going to win that job, if you're convinced it's Gunner, if you're convinced it's going to be Jaden Rashada, wherever you fall on that spectrum, I think we can all agree that Georgia got better today. When you add a player the caliber of Jaden Rashada in terms of his overall ability, and he's raw, he's got to develop, but you add a player like that, a guy that doesn't, that you don't need to play this year, that you can, you have the luxury of having him grow and develop and learn your system for a full calendar year. When you add a guy like that, the best transfer quarterback available in the market this spring, when you add a guy like that, unquestionably, Georgia got better. Your team got better. And I don't even think that's something you can argue. So that's the way I look at it. This is a win-win. Because if Gunner Stockton is the guy we think he is, again, he wins the job, awesome, man. I would love that for Gunner. That's amazing. I want the best guy to win the job. Then Rashad transfers out. Or maybe he sticks around. He's willing to wait another year. Maybe, possibly, probably not. He'd probably transfer out. Then, like, okay, you're fine. You go get another quarterback, right? But there's also where he wins the job, right? I mean, we might have gotten our quarterback in the future. So whatever happens, however it transpires, again, we got better today. But all right, guys, that's all I got for today. I want to get on here and share some quick thoughts with you guys on those two breaking news stories that we got today. But yeah, I really appreciate all of you checking out the podcast, listening today, watching on YouTube. Thank you very much for all your support. It really means a lot to you guys. I know I'm still very new to the YouTube game and doing this podcast, the audio, for a decade, trying to get into the YouTube game now. I'm slowly but surely getting better at it, I think, kind of learning more and more with every video. So I appreciate you guys sticking with me and having patience with me as I learn this new medium. But yeah, guys, I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I'm Tyler, and as always, Go Dawgs!